Please be seated, everyone. Well, hello again, or for those I'm meeting for the first time this morning, hello. Good to see you, delighted to meet you. I'm really enjoying getting to know the parish, and I've spent the last week gathering information, meeting people, and generally finding my way around Edmonton on the bus. And last night, I watched the Oilers against the Flames. And we won! Yeah! Yeah, that's very good. Very, very good. Thank you for the words of encouragement about last Sunday's sermon. And a couple of you asked, could you have a copy of it? And so I printed up some copies of it and they're at the back of the church. Please take one if you would like to. And this week's sermon connects directly with what we looked at last week. Jesus, at his baptism, hands himself over to God, and he's anointed for ministry by the Holy Spirit. And we saw that we're called to do the same, hand ourselves over to God. We also saw how dearly loved we are. We looked at those wonderful words of Isaiah 43, and I recommend that you read those words regularly. They are good for the soul. Isaiah 43. And today we are looking again at how those words of love speak, but also what we're handing ourselves over for and what God does with us and how that he does it. Anyway, first, a joke. No breaking tree this week. Today we have a panda who one day, loving all things Italian food, walks into Boston Pizza. And this panda orders everything off the menu. Every pizza, every starter, every pudding, and eats absolutely everything. He's a very tidy panda. Doesn't make a mess down his fur. He's given a coffee at the end of his meal, which he really enjoys. And then the waiter gives him the bill. What do you call it, the check here? I don't know, anyway. Pay up, in other words. At which point, the panda does something rather unexpected. Pulls out of his pocket a little tiny water pistol. Squirts the waiter right in the left ear. Runs out of the door without paying. The manager is outraged because the panda owes them a lot of money for all of this food and runs up the street after him, manages to catch him, stops him, and asks the obvious question. Why? We've given you the very best of our service. When we've given you the bill, you've squirted my waiter with water. Why? And the panda is genuinely bemused. Well, this is who we are. This is what we do. If you don't believe me, go and Google it and see for yourself. So anyway, he reluctantly pays the manager the bill. The manager goes back and Googles panda. Are you ready? Panda dwells in China and Tibet, eats shoots and leaves. After a period of time, you can begin to rate them.
Bakery, panda,
all right. Anyway, the panda misunderstood who he was and therefore how he was to live. And my experience, certainly my own life and as a minister, is that we as Christians can be slow to understand who we are and therefore how we are to live. So you are, and I mean you, I don't mean the person next to you, I mean you and me, are dearly loved by God. God did not make mistake when he made you. And even more wonderful is that God cannot love you any more than he does at this moment because of who you are and because of all he is. And because you are his dearly beloved child, he has grafted you into his body, which is the church, of which Jesus is our head. And as 1 Corinthians 12 explained to us, he has gifted all of us, that means you, with a unique set of gifts and talents. And you know what that means in practice? What it means is that Jesus has a role for you to play that's important and only you can do. Because nobody else is you. Nobody else is me. You, what a blessing. And the question is, do we believe this? Because if it's true, it means you can do something, but not me, not Joanne, not any other minister, not the Bishop Jane, nor the Archbishop of Canterbury, nor even the Apostle Paul can do. Wow. And the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that we're that special? Do we believe that God will anoint us for ministry? And do we live accordingly? Do we walk out of the door in the morning with that swagger, but also that humility that comes from knowing God the Father considers us worth the life of his Son? Do we go out of the door knowing that Jesus by his Spirit is with us and has set up the day for us with tasks to be the salt and light that he's called us to be? I hope that's how we live, because that is who we are. Now I bet I know what you're thinking. Yeah, right. Sure, Richard. Me? That special? Me? Able to do things? The Apostle Paul could do? Come on, we're having a bit of a laugh, as we would say in England. I'm just me. I'm just normal, ordinary me. I can't do that kind of stuff. Well, in the turning of the water into wine, Jesus shows us what he can do with what we might call ordinary. Normal. And I'm sure you all know the story very well. So as Joanne read it, it came to mind, just to refresh. A wedding banquet has run out of wine. Catastrophe. And it would appear that Mary is in charge of the catering, because she says to Jesus, they've run out of wine. And then says to the waiters, or the servants, and here's the advice, do whatever we tell you. Let's think for a minute of what he tells them to do. And I picture him gathering around, you know, servants come together. And he says, right, lads, you see these foot washing ceremonial jars here? 20 or 30 gallons, or if you like it, in litres. It's between 80 and 120 litres. Can you see them, the six of them? Fill them with water. I wonder if we get to heaven whether there'll be screens around where we can see what certain biblical moments were like. Because I would love to see the face of the servants. We've run out of wine. Why aren't we filling the ceremonial jars? But they did it. And let's think for a moment of what that would have meant. And I was tempted to get a bucket, maybe practice, but it didn't take me. They would have to have walked to the well, lowered the bucket, pulled out the bucket, taken the bucket to the ceremonial jar, poured it in, back, and again, until they filled up all of those jars. Now, 1 litre of water weighs 1 kilogram. It meant that carrying 600 kilograms of weight, or if you prefer it in pounds, that's 1,320 pounds of weight before you even add the weight of the buckets. I can picture them as they do this, walking back and forth with the buckets, saying to each other, what are we doing this for when we've run out of wine? I don't Just carry on. I picture a supervisor nagging them. Come on, the quicker we get this done, the quicker we can go home. Kind of thing. But anyway, however long it takes them, they go back to Jesus and say, "You've done it. You've filled up these 6 jars." I wonder what their face did after he told them the next thing. "Wonderful, lads. Now serve it up." What? I wonder what happened next. With the servants in a circle saying, "I'm not taking a goblet of that to the head of the banquet." Who's going to get struck? And I think it's the supervisor picking the youngest. Right, you do it. And in one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible, we read this. So Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars," so they did. Then he told them, "Draw some out and serve it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. I think that's one. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that I can take something that is as normal as water and turn it into something wonderful. I can take something as normal as water and turn it into something, an alcohol is this, something that is cleansing and powerful. And it's not just any old wine. It was the best wine that the master of the banquet had ever tasted. However ordinary we believe ourselves to be, it is nothing compared to Jesus' transforming power. And what we do is we hand ourselves over to a Jesus who loves us dearly, who has uniquely gifted us, who has created us uniquely, and says, "I'm a huge one, because you don't know how special you are. I want you to be my life, my salt. And if you trust me, we'll change the world. We can do this. Give yourself to me." And to prove it, we have these wonderful stories where he changes water into wine. And I want to close with an attempt at an illustration of my own. This is potentially messy, so please forgive me while I go over there and just get a couple of things.
Okay.
So let me sort this out. I'm going to use this illustration with tea. What do you expect from a Brit? But anyway, in England, we put the milk in first. Okay? Not always, but generally. Okay, there's some milk in there. Put that down there. Now, I would like us to speak about pretend that this glass jar is us. And when we talk about being filled by the Holy Spirit, that which is essentially us, because we think we're ordinary and we're not special and we're not good and actually we are the problem, and somehow we've got to get out of the way of Jesus so he can then fill us with himself, we try to make ourselves as small as we possibly can. Not me, Lord, but you. Deny myself that you might fill me. And in a sense, that's right. We can only do it in his power. But what we end up doing is actually not seeing ourselves as he does. There we go. I'll be right back. So let us now pretend.
Actually, would you mind holding that just for a moment? Thank you.
This is potentially very, very messy. So let us pretend that the tea is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the living water. I'd like you to watch what happens. may I suggest that the way we look at this in terms of ourselves is that when we look at ourselves, we cannot see where we end and Jesus begins. It's a perfect blending. That actually when people see you, they don't see you or Jesus, but they see you full of Jesus. And what it means is in practice is that we don't have to be the same, all filled with Jesus and all like him, but all identical, like we're all becoming clones of Jesus. He wants you, all of you, to be filled with Jesus so that you are uniquely you, but filled with Jesus. Can you see how different that is? So you and you filled with him. I am me, filled with him. We're ourselves, but we're salt and light for him because it's him that shines through us. And I know there's a limit to any illustration. And I'm certainly not going to drink cold tea. But may I suggest that this is a picture, however flawed, of who we are. You are him. You are you, full of him. This is who you and I are. And this is who we are. Everything, every day. So yes, we're dearly loved. Yes, we're dearly created. And the Lord of all dwells in us. So rejoice, rejoice. We have the hope of glory in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who we are. We're not just dearly loved by you. We're not just saved and redeemed by you. But you love us so much you come and dwell within us by your Spirit, that you might transform us more and more into the likeness of the Son you love, that we might be his voice, his hands, his ministry here on earth. What privilege is ours. Father, we pray, help us to walk more and more in the light of this truth every day. Thank you for your help. Thank you that you fill us. Thank you that we need have no fear. Thank you that you empower and you lead. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.